Okay, well, tonight I want to read a passage in John chapter 9. But before I read John chapter 9, I'm just going to read John chapter 8, verses 59, because it's John chapter 9 is a continuation from John chapter 8. So in John chapter 8, verses 59, then took up stones to cast it at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went this way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. I just want to stop there. So we have here a story of a blind man, and I want to speak about the word blind today. And we have the story of the blind man, and we were like this blind man as well. Not in the sense that we were born like him physically, but in the sense that we were spiritually blind. And perhaps some of us are still spiritually blind. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and reading from verse 3, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So when we were born in this world, we were born blind. We were born unbelievers. And just like this man, he was born physically blind. And we are blind too as well if we don't believe. So that's why I said perhaps some of us are blind right now. And we see this man here in John chapter 9. Nobody else could have healed him. Only Jesus. And it's the same thing with us too as well. Nobody else can heal our blindness. Nobody else can take away that blindness. Only Jesus can heal us. Only Jesus can take this away. And reading in verse 2, the disciples asked a question. The disciples said, Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, this is quite a legitimate question. I mean, perhaps if I was in the same situation, I would probably ask the same question. The disciples maybe might have thought that, well, all sickness is because of sin. All disabilities is because of sin. All blindness is because of sin. All human suffering is because of sin, which is totally true. And perhaps maybe that's what disciples were thinking of. Or maybe the disciples were thinking of the verse that we can see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, which is one of the commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So just focusing on the last bit, for I, the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So perhaps maybe disciples were thinking of this commandment. I don't know. But maybe we can think of an example of somebody that did sin and their child had to suffer for it. And the person I'm thinking of here is David. And so David did sin. David committed adultery. And his child, his firstborn, had to suffer for it. And we can think of our first parents, Adam and Eve, that have sinned. And after Adam and Eve have sinned, sin was fallen on everyone. And we know there's so many familiar scriptures that can point to us that we're all sinners, that we're all born in sin. And the one scripture I thought about is in Psalms. And in Psalms chapter 51, Psalm chapter 51 is a psalm of David. And this was a psalm after Nathan the prophet came to speak to David when he came into Bathsheba. And so Psalm chapter 51, verse 5, going to read. So this is David saying, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And so we have here David kind of confessing and saying that I was born in sin. And it's the same thing with us. We were born in sin. And the well-known verse that I can quote to you, you don't have to turn to it, but Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we were born in sin. We're not perfect. And we can think back to this blind man. He was born blind. And he was not perfect. But then the disciples also asked the question, if we go back to John chapter 9, we think about the question that the disciples asked. He said, "Did this man sin?" Well, I thought this is probably a ridiculous question to ask. Like, why would this man sin from birth? Like, why would he be able to sin in his womb? And on my studies when I was reading, apparently it says most Jews believe that you can sin from when you're in the womb. And I mean, we can leave that to discussion for later. But we're born in sin. And so, I mean, I think we can sin from a womb, but we'll just leave that one alone. But we look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The works of God be made manifested in him. Now, how incredible this is, that the works of God will be made manifested through him. Well, we can assume that this man was sitting at the temple gate, because as we read earlier, chapter 8, verses 59, we see where Jesus went out into the temple. He went through the midst of them, and he went out into the temple. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 9, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." So we could assume that this man was sitting at the temple gate. And if he was sitting at the temple gate, this means that lots of people would have passed him. Many people would have saw him. And so truly, God's work would have been made manifested through this man. We look at verse 5. Jesus makes this phrase, or this statement. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus says this also in chapter 8 of John. And in chapter 8, verse 12, he also says this. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." One of the subjects we have in our Catholic lecture speaking on the topic of I am, we have I am the light of the world. Now, I'm not here to give you a lecture on Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, because we've already had that with Milton Jemison. But I will say this, the story in chapter 8 is quite a remarkable story too as well. And actually it was something I was going to speak on, but I decided that that the Holy Spirit decided to have me speak on chapter 9. But it's a story of a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And the Pharisees and the scribes went and presented her in the midst and in the front of Jesus, in the midst of them. And the Pharisees and scribes wanted to stone her to death. According to the law of Moses, if you committed adultery, you had to be stoned to death. But of course, not only the woman, but the man as well. But the Pharisees brought only the woman here. But we see here that Jesus ignored them. He wrote on the ground, and then they persisted. And yet Jesus said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. And they all went away. They all left. From the oldest to the youngest, which is very significant that, of course, the oldest would know full well that he has sinned. But what an enlightenment, what an encouragement to see Jesus as the light of the world. We see here that Jesus has shown the light in their dark hearts and have exposed their guilt, and also that he revealed to this woman that was caught in the act of adultery that they are all sinners. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And here we have in John chapter 9 that he quotes this here, I am the light of the world. Well, we read in verse 6, what the Lord Jesus has done. It says, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, what a strange thing to do, I thought. You know, like, could he not have just said to him, go in peace, your faith will make you see again? Or could he not have just maybe just touch his eyes and just make him well? But he made clay, he spat on the ground, made clay, and covered his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. I'm not very good with pronouncing words. But we have here that the Lord Jesus has done the work of ensuring that this man can see again. And all he had to do was what the Lord Jesus told him to do, and that is go wash in the pool of Siloam and you will see. And yes, this is the result. He did see. He did see when he followed the simple instructions of the Lord. And this actually made me thought about the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us, and how the Lord Jesus has went through that awful death on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He's done the work on the cross to make us well. He's done the work on the cross to make us safe. And all he says to us is believe. And all we have to do is believe what he has done for us, and we will be safe. The blind man went and washed and received his sight again. But the story doesn't end there. And I'm going to read on from verse 8 onwards to the end of the chapter. Verse 8 says, the neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received the sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes and washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him again, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know not that this is our son. We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. Is he of age? Ask him. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be born of the synagogue. He should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be blind, might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remaineth." So we have here, beginning on to verse 8 and to the end of the story, this man not only was physically blind, but he was also spiritually blind. This man received his sight physically, and he received his sight spiritually. Well, this man, at first, he thought that Jesus was just a prophet. And brothers and sisters, and for those that are unbelieving, let me let you know that it's not enough just to think that Jesus was a prophet. But we see later in verse 35 that he finally believed. When the Lord Jesus spoke to him, he can say that he believed and that he worshiped him. In verse 35 through to verse 38, we see this. And the question for each and every one of us is that, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I know most of you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I'm sure we have some here, or perhaps may listen to this later, that may not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, then you are blind, and you need the Lord Jesus' help to open your eyes, because only him can do it. Only him, just like this man, needed Jesus to open his eyes. What we also see, what we just read, was that there was a division. So after this miracle was performed, there was a division. And we had one group that did not believe, that was blind, that said, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath." They were blind. They were still stuck in their sins. They were really caught up with the law, not focusing on the Son of God, not focusing on the one that was talked about in the scriptures. And then we have another group that says, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And I think this would be the believing group. And perhaps maybe I would say not only that this blind man was spiritually healed, some of them would have been spiritually healed too as well, but it doesn't mention that. But we are quite sure that this blind man was spiritually healed. The works of God was made manifest through this blind man. And we can also think of the thought that Jesus presented in the end. Jesus says in the end, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." So what was Jesus talking about when he mentioned this in the end? And I looked a bit puzzled too as well, but a thought just came to my mind. Not just came to my mind, but a thought came to my mind when it was talked about. We looked at verse 44, and basically Jesus was answering the question of the Pharisees. And verse 40 says, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, 'Are we blind?'" And this is where Jesus answers the question. But we think of the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought they had everything right. The Pharisees knew the scriptures really well, and the Pharisees knew the law really well. And the Pharisees thought they had everything right. But yet we see here that the Son of God is presented plain in their face, and they can't pick up that this is the Son of God. They're very blind to the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus was the one that was sent, that Jesus was the same one that was talked about in the scriptures. And yet, they are the ones that could say, we see. They're the ones that say, we see, but yet, they're really blind. They cannot see. And yet, their sin remaineth. And then the question I want to ask is that, how many of us are like the Pharisees that think that we've got it all together? They think that we know scriptures really well, but yet we think, oh, we are blind, but yet we think we see. Yet we think we see the light of scriptures. We think we see the light of the truth. And Jesus could respond, your sin remaineth. But for those that know that they are blind, can be healed, can be saved, can be born again, can believe. And so here we have here that this man was born blind, and we can take it that we were also born blind. We were born unbelievers, and yet the only person that could take away this blindness was the Lord Jesus. And the only person that can help us to come to repentance, help us to come to be saved, is the Lord Jesus. Why don't we trust in him today? Why don't we trust him as our personal Savior? And so here is the message here that I want to leave with you, and to encourage our hearts, to encourage us that we can come to the knowledge of the truth, and that we can accept the light of the world, the one that shines through our hearts, the one that shines through our dark hearts, reveals our guilt, the one that shows us the way that is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so may our hearts be encouraged this evening on this subject. Let us pray.